May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts bring glory to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. An image I need you to keep in your mind this morning as we begin to explore the gospel is that the door is shut and locked, and it divides the disciples from the outside world to the inside world. It's an image I need you to hold on to in the next few moments. Several years ago, in a place far, far away that you've never heard of, with somebody that you'll never meet, I received a telephone call and asked if I would meet in a Tim Hortons, and the individual wanted to talk about evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I met with them. I acknowledged them. They said they would be in an orange shirt. There they were. I said, "Is this a small coffee conversation or a large?" And the individual looked at me and said, "An extra, extra large." We ordered coffee and sat down. He said, "I don't want to waste a minute here with trivial conversation. I'd like you to provide me with the evidence that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, has risen from the dead, and can be my personal Savior. I have approximately this long," and he pointed to the extra, extra large coffee. I smiled, thought for a moment, and said, "Have you read the Bible?" The response was, "No." I said, "Well, you might find some of the answers that you're looking for in the Bible. It was written over a really long time for people like you and I, so that as we read it, we may be so inspired by the Holy Spirit to hear the message and own it." "Which section do I got to read?" he said. I said, "Well, I would start with Mark. It's very short, succinct, and right to the point." The response was, "I'll give it a shot." "Do you have other evidence that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, the Messiah of the world?" I said, "You could find some of that by attending worship." "Oh no, really?" was the response. "Yes." I said, "You'll find in a community of faith that there's a great deal of dialogue about Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Messiah, the risen one, in the worship context, in the music, in the scripture, in the homily." At that point, he looked right at me and said, "Are you the preacher?" I said, "I am." He said, "How long do you talk?" I said, "Well, it depends on who you talk to. Some say I don't talk long enough. Some say I talk way too long. I'll try and get a good Sunday," he said. He looked at me and he said, "Is that all you got?" I said, "No. You need to meet some people who live their faith every single day in simple ways. You need to meet these folks one at a time." He said, "Do you have a list of names of people I could get together with?" I thought for a moment. You see, I need permission to connect people. I understand that it's evangelism, it's witnessing. And I need permission to connect those individuals. And so I gave him three names of the people that I knew would be prepared to sit with him and have a conversation about their faith and how they live out that faith. The conversation went on for another hour, but I am happy to share with you, he not only attended worship, he not only read his Bible, he not only got together with those three people, but he became a key leader in one of the churches that I served. He developed a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and I continue to honor him as friend. Matter of fact, you just might meet him someday. Not today, but someday. The gospel today is about the door between the inside and the out, and sometimes we need to take the risk to go beyond the door. It's a difficult challenge, and this is why we spend so much time, if we consider this the inside, trying to get it perfect, trying to make sure everything inside of the building, every relationship, every wall, every floor, every roof, every committee is perfect, that we never get to the door. Let me tell you something about a perfect house. Immaculately clean. Everything done to perfection. every single room to the satisfaction of those in control. It's impossible. It's impossible. There are several animals that would need to leave our house immediately, and a couple of people that come and go. Because if I want to be completely satisfied with the perfection of my home and exercise the art of perfectionism, if you want to call it an art. You see, here's the humor in it. Life's never perfect. Never. Whether it's in your house or out. If you want perfectionism in your home, you'll be nothing, you'll do nothing, you'll have no relationships, and you'll die in isolation. But your house will be clean. It'll never be perfect inside. And Christ calls us outside. He said to the disciples, I not only declare you disciples, followers, but I declare you as those that go beyond the door. Beyond the door, the apostles, the ones that deliver the good news to the world by your word and by your example. And you have to use the door to get out into the world. And then he said to them, I breathe. Now, here's the interesting. Does the Greek and Hebrew say on you or in you? Post-COVID, people would be profoundly uncomfortable with this illustration. But for them to receive the Holy Spirit, does that mean he breathed on them or in them? Did they receive it? Did it become part of who they were? And if that is the case, then that same Holy Spirit is breathed into you, and it grants you the possibility to grant forgiveness. What is granting forgiveness? It is setting yourself free from unhealthy situations. It is releasing the bondage between you and the other person. It is granting them release from the situation, but more importantly, you. It is exercising the divine gift to be able to say, no matter what you said, did, or thought, no matter how many witnesses I have, we let it go. Now, I'm not sure that Joyce and I were the perfect set of parents. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure I wasn't. Yep, that was pretty smart on my part right there, wasn't it? I'm pretty sure I wasn't. Yeah, Terry got it. It's okay. We had an interesting system. I went in to negotiate. I continue to negotiate. In all aspects of life, a matter of fact, no matter who it is, no matter what the situation, if they come to me at this exact moment, there is still opportunity for grace. No matter who it is or what the situation. But Joyce and I always had the agreement, by the time it had to go to her, the ruling came down. I couldn't even stay in the house. You could say I was a wuss, or you could simply say that I had, by mutual agreement, done my part. You see, what Jesus says to us about forgiveness is that it's not about declaring the other person right. It's not about declaring the other person proper. It's about saying grace needs to step into this situation and allow clemency, which, by the way, is unwarranted forgiveness. And only by the power of the Holy Spirit breathed into our lives can that happen. Now it goes even further because there was Thomas. Can we acknowledge that there might be a little of Thomas in us? Acknowledging the reality that we have doubts and fears and anxieties about most situations, every single one of us. And so the disciples had already experienced Jesus. He showed up. He showed them his hands, his feet, and his side. And they had come to believe in him. And yet, even though they received the good news of Jesus Christ, they still had the doors locked and were hiding inside the second time. Right? read the passage. They're still scared. Part of us is always still scared. And yet when Jesus comes the second time and he encounters them, he offers them grace and mercy, clemency and love again. And he has this conversation with Thomas. Thomas, you need evidence. Touch my hands. Put your hand on my side. Look at my feet. I'm really here. If you need extra evidence, you can have it with no grudge. Just receive that love and mercy. Powerful. Powerful. Because that's what happens to us every time we confess when we've made a mistake. We return to God's grace and love, and he accepts us and invites us anew into a relationship with him over and over and over again. And so, here's the bottom line for this morning. Are you ready? The disciples were invited to step out of the place they realized would never be perfect, meeting all of their expectations, hopes, dreams, and goals, but that it's a lifetime of process towards perfection. And to step out of that safe place out into the world, and to show by their words and their examples that they are saved by grace. And in half an hour, you're invited to do exactly the same. Amen.